So, bar and bat mitzvah. In our journey through the life cycle, I want to begin the conversation about bar and bat mitzvah with an observation similar to what I said yesterday about birth and birthdays, which is that the Jewish tradition actually says remarkably little about bar and bat mitzvahs as well. In a 650-page volume by Professor Daniel Sperber on custom and lore of the Jewish life cycle, there is not one entry about the bar and bat mitzvah. The age of majority in the Bible is not 13, it is 20. That is when you are eligible for war and taxation. It is the Talmudic tradition that moves the age of majority to 13. In Jewish history, a child would read the Torah or put on tefillin for the first time. There would be a nice meal. But these rituals, only developed in the last 300 or 500 years, which in American history is a long time, but in Jewish history is like yesterday. Bar and bat mitzvah did not used to be a transitive verb. We now say, well, that rabbi bar or bat mitzvahed me. Or I got bar mitzvahed, as if bar and bat mitzvah is something that one person does to another person, but it's not. One becomes a bar or a bat mitzvah. One becomes a son or a daughter of the commandments. Historically, at 12 years old for a girl and at 13 years old for a boy. I suspect that the Jewish tradition made so little of the moment because there was nothing special that a child did to become a bar or bat mitzvah, and so the moment would pass without much fuss. Bar and bat mitzvah is now a central life cycle moment in the Jewish tradition. At first blush, that would seem to be a good thing. It is certainly better than having no bar or bat mitzvah at all, but the popularity of this moment might not be a good sign after all. We know the stories of bar and bat mitzvah parties in big cities that cost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, filled with dancing and celebrities. We are thankfully relatively immune from such ostentatious displays here in Durham. On the other hand, many observers of modern Jewish life have pointed out how B'nai Mitzvah ceremonies are the engine that drives the American Jewish synagogue. That people join synagogues in order to have a bar or bat mitzvah, and then, like the mice, they never come back. In an article called The Seven Types of Forgetting, Paul Connerton writes about how after the First World War, European countries built monuments to the war dead and annually observed 2 minutes of silence while, quote, 10 million mutilated survivors of the First World War still haunted the streets. They were dismembered, not remembered men. Connerton argues that the rituals of memory that were enacted in those countries enabled a different sort of forgetting. I wonder if the modern Jewish emphasis on the bar and bat mitzvah ritual, even with its accompanying focused periods of learning and preparation, enables a collective forgetting of Judaism during the rest of our lives. I gave my child a bar or bat mitzvah, we tell ourselves, so that we can forget. Midrash Kohelet Rabbah teaches it is for our own good that we learn Torah and that we forget it. Because if we studied Torah and we never forgot it, the people would struggle with learning it for 2 or 3 years, resume ordinary work, and then never pay further attention to it. But since we study Torah and we forget it, we don't abandon its study. Unless we do, even when we do forget it. Our children study Torah for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or however many years and stop, even though they forget. We think that a Jewish education is a possession, a precious heirloom that we can put away into a drawer and take out years later to pass on to our children or our grandchildren when we're gone. It's not a possession. It's a way of life. It's what Jews do. We learn. My teacher, Rabbi Brad Artson, once wrote, "One of the laws of thermodynamics is the principle of entropy, that everything returns to chaos eventually. In the world of biology and physics, only the investment of new energy can counter the inevitable spread of disorder." True of the world of spirit as well. Judaism has made a cardinal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Jewish learning, because through that study, we can experience God's presence. I'm not arguing against B'nai Mitzvah ceremonies. They are a beautiful part of our culture and of our community, but I'm saying that they are a beginning, they're not an end. They are there to help us remember the importance of Jewish education for a lifetime, not forget it. I'm going to do something unorthodox for a sermon. It's second day, and we're really going to explore these ideas. It can't just be my voice that's heard, so I'm going to ask you a real question right in the middle of all this. So, if you're sleeping, wake up. A unique feature of our Bar and Bat Mitzvah process is a dialogue, because it's the child and not the rabbi's voice that must be heard. So I want to ask the following question. Do you think it should be up to kids as to whether or not they should have a bar or bat mitzvah? Do you think that kids should make that decision, and why or why not? Please raise your hands, right? Don't everybody shout at once. Rhoda. Okay, so Rhoda said, "I don't know which way or not, but I do have this personal experience of having been at two different B'nai Mitzvah where the child was forced into it against their will, and where even being a part of that experience was an experience of suffering for not only the child, but for the community as well, right?" I asked this question, and my son is raising his hand. Yes, Benjamin. Okay, Benjamin said that he thinks that the kids should be able to choose, because not all kids are ready to be, tell me if I get this right, not all kids are ready to be mature at the time that maturity is given to them. Okay, Lois? So Lois had the personal experience of not having a bat mitzvah as she was growing up, and having an adult bat mitzvah, and it was a great experience. But asking the question, maybe I as a parent should also get to participate, right, in that process of deciding along with my child. Alana, and then I'm going to call Michael because he's one of our Talmud Torah teachers, right? But Alana, go ahead. So
this is something that is part of their journey, and whatever form it takes, it doesn't have to be prescribed, but that this is part of their history and their home and part of how they're being raised by these people. They can choose to reject it or do as it happens, and maybe it'll be a positive negative, whatever, but I do believe that that's a huge, huge decision and sort of privilege and too much for a child.
So you spoke very beautifully. I'm going to have to repeat it, and I'm not going to do as good a job. But part of what you said is that it's important for a child to have a net. And there needs to be a dialogue between a parent and a child, right? But the way to approach it with the child is to lay out for them, this is part of your journey. This is part of the this is part of your home, right? And so yes, dialogue, but sort of laying out for them, here's the net and here is the part of the path. Michael, yeah. So I'm just going to repeat it for, there were two sort of thoughts there. One of them was about a foundation, right? And but not only the text, but also the community of people, and that gives you the ability to sort of reflect back when you go to college and to be in relationship not only with the experience, but also with the community. Oh, wow, this is a very big, so Susanna, yes, you are relatively new here, so I want to hear your voice. Yeah.
I at this point am just exploring Judaism, and I'm 29 years old, and I'm still on the exploration of finding exactly what fits me. I think that religion is a very personal journey, and that a child shouldn't be forced into something for the sake of tradition. My experience so far with the Jewish community is very accepting, so I think that a child could have, you know, in college or those times, still that accepting position without having been bar or gone through a bar and bat mitzvah. So I think that it should be something that happens when they decided what's right for them. Like, I was baptized when I was a baby, but that's not what fits me. I don't think that's necessary to save me. I think it's more important to learn and know and values than to have just a tradition of something.
Okay, so it's important. You've experienced a lot of acceptance, right, in the Jewish community, and the danger that you walk is sort of, you know, giving a sense of non-acceptance, and you want to give people an opportunity to find it at their own pace. There's so much, and I actually have some words prepared, so I'm going to go, right, in case you just thought this was a way to get out of writing a sermon. It's very important to me. I like to walk all the way to the back. And so I'm going to start here in the back, get everybody to turn around for a second, and you're going to have to speak way up, okay? Okay, so by the way, Allison is the head of school at Learner, so, you know, I want to see, right? And part of what she said, and forgive me, but I encourage you, you're going to say at lunch, what did the rabbi talk about? You can say, what did we talk about? Talk to each other about this, okay? It's an important, I'm going to ask you to put your hands down because, but I appreciate all of the different thoughts. Allison talked about how you need to have you need to have the background, and that you can't just jump in, right, at 13 years old with the decision, but you need to have something leading up to that. On your cards, you have the cards, right? It's a big card here. The verse says, Chanoch lena'ar al pi darko gam, and then the, you don't have it on there, but it continues, gam ki yaskin lo yasir mimena, which I've translated here as dedicate, okay, the word chanoch, right, chanoch lena'ar, is the word, chinuch is the word for education. I've translated it as dedicate. Okay, and I want to tell you why. Education comes from educare, which means to draw out, right? To draw out of a child is to draw out something from within them. And Judaism has a different sense of what education is. It's chinuch, which comes from what holiday? Chanukah. And it means to dedicate or to rededicate. And so I've translated this as dedicate a child, and chinuch is specifically dedicating something for the purpose for which it was created. So, for instance, you don't dedicate a house when you do a groundbreaking, right? You build the home, right? You figure out where is the bathroom going to be, where's the kitchen, how is it all going to fit together, and when you're ready to start living in the home for the first time, then you dedicate it. You dedicate it for the purpose for which it was created, for living. And we do a Chanukah Tabayit. We hang the mezuzah. We do a Chanukah Tabayit, a dedication of our home, as a way of saying that this home was created not just for living, but for being a dwelling place for God's presence. It seems strange to think about dedicating a child, but education, all education, involves beginning with the conviction that a child is created with a purpose. That a child is created with a purpose. And not for no purpose at all. And not only whatever purpose happens to come into their mind, true education involves some coercion, some indoctrination, where not everything is up for grabs. The Jewish educational theorist Professor Michael Rosenach wrote as follows: it is indeed the aim of the educator that the young person makes up his own mind. But it is also his aim that the student accepts the basic principles that the educator believes. Every democratic educator will do everything that he can to prevent his pupil from developing Nazi convictions. If a democratic educator student develops some convictions, then the educator will judge him or herself as having failed his or her students. And rightly so. We want our children to make up their own minds about Jewish life, but there are principles that we aim to teach. Community, learning, Jewish people, morality, questioning, doubt. We may even value the belief that our children should walk away from Jewish life is that if that is what they really, really want to do, we may not all agree on what all of those values are, but nobody escapes imposing a set of values upon one's children. If you believe in free choice, you are indoctrinating and coercing your child to grow up believing in the importance of free choice. We can't get away from it. Chinuch means dedication. It means beginning with a sense of purpose for which a child comes into the world and dedicating, even imposing those values upon them because those are the parts of our tradition we refuse to leave up for grabs. Not every choice that is freely made is a good choice because it's freely made. So we should be thoughtful and we should acknowledge what our bottom lines are as an inescapable part of chinuch, of education. But the second part of the card, it says, chanoch, dedicate a child, al pi darko, according to the child's way, which is in direct tension with this idea of imposing our beliefs. Dedicate your child, but you must do so according to his or her way, not your own. You have to listen to teach, not just speak. If there's one central message of Rosh Hashanah, it is that God is the true judge, not me, not any of us. In his book on Jewish learning, Franz Rosenzweig wrote, quote, no one can take another person to task, though he can and should teach him, because only I know what I can do. Only my ear can hear the voice of my own being with which I have to reckon. Bar and bat mitzvah is that liminal moment when we acknowledge that my child hears the voice of his or her inner being, that my own child is becoming an independent soul, that there's now going to be a distance. It's the transition in the parent-child relationship when you stop walking into your child's room without knocking on the door, when you grudgingly admit, or perhaps you joyously celebrate, that there is a part of your child which is separate from you that you must respect and into which you must be invited before entering. Hi, Benjamin. He's becoming bar mitzvah this fall. It's been a big high holidays for Benjamin, day one and day two. I have not been immune from the temptation to overmanage his preparation, to which he can testify quite well, to try and force him to love what I love as much as I love it for the reasons that I love it. I have felt the sadness at a distance that once felt like it was not there, at the loss of innocence and closeness, and I'm going to do my best to sit and watch his conversation with Rabbi Sager. I'm going to try to teach myself to savor his questions, those moments when he offers me a glimpse into the private life developing within him, when he issues me an invitation to share my deepest self with his. I'm not saying that we have to leave our children alone in their rooms or in the world just to fend for themselves. We can knock. We should knock. When discussing the mitzvah of visiting those who are ill, the Talmud teaches a prisoner cannot free himself from jail. Sometimes our kids are suffering, they're confused. They need us to knock, to reach out, to tell them, hey, you look upset. I want you to know you're not alone. I'm here when you need me. And if and when they invite us into their lives, we should be present for them, not with ready-made answers, but with listening ears and a compassionate heart and gratitude for the gift of sharing our lives with one another. As I said yesterday, the audience for these reflections upon life cycle moments is not merely for those who experience these occasions firsthand. I will take a moment to make a plug for a class, Walking with God, a course that is starting on Sunday mornings after the high holidays. It is open to people who are interested in celebrating an adult bar or bat mitzvah on Shavuot next May, but not only to people who are interested in that ceremony. Rather, for anyone who is seeking to study and explore notions of God in the Jewish tradition as an adult and not as a child. But beyond the course, as we relate to one another in community, when we talk to each other about politics, about Israel, about religion, about parenting, about our careers, about matters of the synagogue, about illnesses, about anything at all, as we communicate with each other, we should all remember, on the one hand, that nobody has a monopoly on truth, that we must enter into conversation with an open heart and a respectful knock upon the door that is respectful of the infinite uniqueness of each person, that each person must learn al pi darko, according to his or her way. And on the other hand, we must hold each other accountable in sacred commitment to the Jewish tradition, to all those things that are not up for grabs. We can dedicate not only our children, but one another to values and practices that are not negotiable in our Jewish lives. And we can do so because we believe that life is more richly lived when it's lived in community, when there is someone who knocks on our door or whose door we knock upon because we deeply care for one another. I want to answer the question that I asked a few minutes ago. I do think that it's okay to force our kids to have a bar or a bat mitzvah, not for the sake of the ceremony, certainly not for the party, and not for the even for the preparation for a bar or bat mitzvah ceremony, because it is not sufficient for a lifetime of Jewish education. I believe that we can force our kids when they are young, because our children internalize our most deeply held values by what we don't give them a choice about. Jewish education should mean that much to us, and if it doesn't, they also internalize that. A few weeks ago, I was learning a teaching from Pirkei Avot with the faculty of our synagogue Talmud Torah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai received from Hillel and Shammai, Im lemarata harbe Torah, if you learned much Torah, don't attribute too much value to yourself, because it was for this purpose that you were created. How would it change our approach to Jewish education if we really took this to heart, that perhaps, and I'm not talking by here about kids, that perhaps the very purpose of our lives is to learn Torah in its deepest sense. I remember once meeting with the mother of one of our counselors at Camp Ramah in California. She was, at that time, a very brave woman who was very ill with cancer. And I remember, as we sat together and we talked about her kids and we talked about her illness, I will never forget what she said to me, which is, I've stopped asking the question, why me? And I've started asking the question, what is it that I can learn from this? Her question wasn't naive. It didn't deny the pain that she was experiencing. In the midst of great darkness, she did not succumb to platitudes and self-pity. She challenged herself to learn, to grow, because that's the very purpose for which we are created. You might be surprised to know that the Zohar, Judaism's foundational mystical text, and thinkers as famous as Nachmanides and Rabbi Isaac Luria endorse a belief in Gilgul Nefashot, in reincarnation. Luria explains that reincarnation offers the opportunity to a soul that lived before to repair itself and continue to grow later in life and later in another life. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught that the very purpose of our lives is to grow, to improve our souls. The high holidays are a time when we ask again, why am I here? Not just did I get a promotion or earn money, but what is my life's purpose? Have I lived the past year in fulfillment of that purpose? Did my soul grow? Did I learn Torah in its deepest sense? Did I teach it to the next generation? We have a big class of bar and bat mitzvah kids. They need lots of teachers. They need you. They need all of us to be their teachers in the deepest sense. Every year should be a bar and bat mitzvah year. As Rosenzweig said, only my ear can hear the voice of my own being, which I have to reckon with. Only we can ask and only we can answer, what sort of year was it? Did I learn? We are, in Rosenzweig's words, our parents' children, and our grandchildren's ancestors. Therefore, we may rightly expect to find ourselves again at some time in our parents' every word and deed, and also that our own words and deeds will have some meaning for our grandchildren. May it be so. Ken yihi ratzon v'nomar amen.